The Lord this morning. Good to have our visitors, each one with us this morning. Key of A, Sister Stephanie. He's great, isn't he? Amen. This is page 135. If we don't know it, how great thou art. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider this morning.
And when I think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in.
Oh, think about it.
Oh!
up in praise this morning. What a mighty God he is. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And through his grace, we've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Oh, Satan rages. We cannot be defeated. 'Cause we've got the power in the name of the Lord. Oh, we've got the power in the name of Jesus. Stop us. Oh, but the bride of Jesus, Lord, was still alive. Like a mighty army, we keep marching onward, winning every battle with the Lord by our side. Amen. Good to have the visitors again. Brothers, where are you all from? I'm sorry.
Ohio.
Good to have you all with us. Praise the Lord. We have a couple visitors in the back. Good to have everyone out this morning. We have Brother Nathan's away now. Remember them in prayer. And Brother Stephen's speaking this morning at 9:30. And Brother Nathan at noon. Brother Jack Duff. So remember all the brothers that are away. And we have a few prayer requests this morning. Also, after the service this morning, before we come to prayer request, the adult choir is going to practice right after the service this morning. So those of you that can stay, we'd appreciate that. And also, Sister Sharon Toth will be having a medical procedure tomorrow and ask to be remembered in our prayers. Traveling mercies for the Heron Bassets and the birds. Also, Sister Hannah Green requested prayer for her neck and back. Remember Crystal this morning, she's not feeling well. Also, could please continue to remember Brother Larry Sharp in prayer. He's very sick with COVID. And please remember Brother Luther Dishman's son, Lonnie, in prayer. He was taken to the hospital with complications caused by existing liver issues. Brother Lee, could you come up to pray over these when we get through? And Sister Erica Parker, his brother Donnie Reagan's daughter, was diagnosed with stage 4 liver cancer. The doctors are putting in a port to start chemo treatments as soon as possible. And please remember Brother Bill Hirschberger's wife in prayer. Brother Bill is a minister of Brother Danny Steema's church and Sarasota, Florida, where Brother Nathan and them were at on Wednesday night. And his wife was recently diagnosed with cancer. Brother Nathan prayed for her in Sarasota on Wednesday evening. We are believing that with them for a testimony. Amen. Brother Gary Simmons requested prayer for his friend, Brother Brian Correll and his family. Their 17-year-old son was killed last night when a car hit him on his bicycle. His younger brother was also riding the bike with him, and he's in the hospital, but he should be okay. Please keep their family in prayer during this time. That must be a shock for the family, but God has everything in his hands. Amen. How many this morning has a request with uplifting your hands? Say, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, we're going to him, and I believe he can answer it. Remember the brother this morning as he speaks. Let's pull on the gift. And Lord, I believe he has something in store for us this morning. The Lord's going to move by the confession of our faith. Amen. Brother Lee, would you come this morning?
All bow our heads. Heavenly Father, seems like there's just so much going on in this day and hour. God, seems like there's so many battling this virus that's going around, but Lord, you've got everything in control. Father, we just ask for your mercy and your grace, Lord. No doubt each and every one that's here has a need, Lord. You saw the hands, you know the heart that's beneath that hand, Lord. God, may you, Lord, give them their heart's desire. Father, draw us closer to you this morning, God, closer than we've ever been before. Let our walk, Lord Jesus, be, Lord, in heavenly places, Lord, all the days of our life. Let our minds and our thoughts be right with you. Forgive us of our faults. Lord, remember these, Lord, it's lost loved ones, Father. Lord, what pain they must be going through. Father, may you be a comfort, Lord, to them. Lord, we pray that you would just bless Brother Nathan and those ministers, Brother Stephen, and those that's ministering this morning. Be a leader and a guide to them, Father. Help them, Lord, to be able to help someone further your kingdom. Save the lost, Lord. Establish your kingdom in the hearts of the believers. Father, help us to worship you and lift you up this morning. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. Amen.
Good morning, church. This morning we'll be reading the 102nd chapter of the book of Psalm. That's 102. We'll read the first 14 verses. The Lord willing, we'll finish it up next week. Psalm 102. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as a hearth. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Thy servants take pleasure. God bless you, church. Please be seated.
Keep a brother to come at this time for the offering.
Oh, I am blessed. I am blessed. Oh, every day that I live, I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up again, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. I'm
we get the words for the song.
I'm thankful he's with us, aren't you?
Amen.
Oh, when you're walking through the valley and the shadows all around, do not fear. God will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. Oh, he has promised to never. The song.
Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That your desire this morning, no matter what we have to go through, we're here in Satan's Eden, but I want his life to be manifested through us. Amen. Let's start the first verse again.
Oh, when you're walking the valley and the shadows all around, well, do not fear, because God will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. For he has promised to never leave you or forsake you. And his word, his light will shine. God is good. Oh, God is good all the time. And we were sinners, so unworthy. But for us he came to die. Filled us with the Holy Spirit. Stand and
weren't born for a valley. You were born to soar. Amen. To see things other people can't see. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I better not get started on that. Hallelujah. I'm glad Jesus is here. Amen. You can be seated. I need to take a little bit of time and set this up. Zion was right. I'm not calling him a musicians. I'm done. If you want to go, I'm not calling him a prophet, but he told his dad on the way to church or sometime, Brother Hoover's going to get up and tell that God changed his thought. Well, he didn't change the thought, but he did change the way I'm supposed to present it. Because if you were here last Sunday, 5:30 last Sunday morning, the Holy Spirit woke me up and I began to pray. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart. And he said, don't worry about what Nathan preaches. I've already told you what to preach and you preach it, but you preach it like this. So we're going to do it like he said. How many of you have never heard Brother David preach? That's me, Brother Hoover. Okay. Fasten your seatbelts. I don't know how this is going to go. This could be the biggest fiasco we've ever seen. But I believe that the Holy Spirit is in this. Amen. So I have to set this up. I need all 12-year-olds to stand up. If you're 12 years old, stand up. Now, come up here. Sisters over here, brothers over here, start over there about that guitar and just make yourself comfortable. Sit as ladylike as you can over by that speaker. You all don't sit ladylike, okay? You just sit down. No, back, I need you up here because there's going to be other people in front of you. Right here. Just make a... Okay, now have a seat. 11-year-olds, stand up. You can sit down. You're going to be here for a little while. 11-year-olds, come up here. Brothers over here. Sisters over here. Fill in back there and make another row. Very good. 10-year-olds. Come on up. Look at that. They've already got it down. That was 10, right? 9-year-olds. Come on up. Wherever you're at, come on up. Sophia, over here. Sisters over here. What was that, 9? 8-year-olds. Over here, sister. Come on up. 7-year-olds. Jackson, over here. 7. Thank you, brother. 6-year-olds. Just sit on the floor right here. If you could sit right here, but those girls won't bite you, I promise. All right. Is that everybody 6 to 12? All right. So I'm going to come down here. You all pray for us. Let's bow our heads, okay? Heavenly Father, I just come to you this morning, this thought that you've laid upon my heart. Heavenly Father, I want to get it across to the children. I know Brother Nathan has preached on it. I know Brother Layton's touched on it. Brother Trevor's been all around it, Lord. But Heavenly Father, you lay this on my heart and you showed me how to demonstrate this. And I pray that you will just speak to these young people this morning. Just use me, Lord. Let me get out of the way. And you just take over and have your way, Lord. That's what we want. We want you to have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is a little unconventional. Just bear with me. And where's the brother that this is for? Are you understanding everything? Okay, good. I'm not sure how that works, but evidently I'm speaking in one language and he's hearing it in another. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
All right, we're going to read from our Bibles. Now, the reason I had you all come up here is that's what the Holy Spirit led me to do. And I'm going to try to preach this so that every one of you understand it. Because someone who
taught me a little bit about public speaking one time said, if I can get it on a third grade level, fourth month, even the adults will understand it. Okay? So we're going to preach to you all, and the adults are going to, they're going to understand it when we get done. No? You got your mic? You got your, okay. No, we're all set. No, I don't, no. I'll be all right. So we're going to start out, and we're going to turn to, and again, some of this is going to sound very familiar if we were here last Sunday, but you just bear with me. In Genesis, the first chapter, very first verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Then turn, if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis, the second chapter. I'm sorry, no, first chapter. First chapter, 26th verse. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Last verse before we get into our message. Genesis, the second chapter, 18th verse. And the Lord God said, it was not good. It is not good that the man should be alone, and I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called them, called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Let's stop right there. And so in the beginning, there's God. There's nothing else, but there's God. Now that's hard for us to understand with our human minds, but God was there. He hadn't created anything yet, but he began to create because he is the creator. And as he began to create, the first thing that he said was,
let there be light.
And there was light. And so then God kept on creating, and he created botany life, or the plant life, and then he created animal life, and then he created man. And when he created man, we're going to demonstrate this to you. Before I go any further, I just want to let you know the rules. If you absolutely, positively have to go to the restroom, you're allowed to go one time. Okay? So make sure you have to go if you get up and move, okay? Otherwise, I'm going to make this as quick as possible. So God's creating, and he says,
let there be light.
And so then he goes through his creation, and he gets to the point where he makes a man. And so he makes a man called Adam. And Adam looked like this. Come here, Gabe. Stand right here. Gabe's Adam today, okay? God made the best man that he could make. Amen. And here it is. All right? And Adam had dominion. You've heard Brother Branham say on the tapes, in the messages, you've heard him say that if Eve didn't like something, like she didn't like where a shrub was or a flower was, God gave Adam the ability to speak and move it. Now, how do we know that? How do we know that's just not Brother Branham saying that? Because I read to you in the scripture where God gave this man power, dominion over all the earth. Whatever he called the animal, that's what it was. If Adam had called the turkey a horse, we'd be calling that a horse today. You say, that's not what a horse looks like, Brother Hoover. But Adam had that power. But God said, there's not a helpmate for Adam. And so he puts Adam to sleep. Go to sleep right here. You're not asleep. All right. And it was a deep sleep. Okay? And God performed an operation. He took a rib out of Adam and he created. Come here. Don't be reading too much into this. Stop. Stand right here. And so God created the most beautiful woman that ever existed. And this is what she looked like. All right, Adam, it's time to wake up. Set up. Stand up. This is Eve. All right? And what did Adam say? Can you tell me what the scripture said he said? Bone of my bones. That's what he said. Bone of my bones.
Bone of my bones.
Flesh of my flesh.
Flesh of my flesh.
Okay, that's what the Bible says. Now, having been married for 42 years to the most beautiful woman in the whole wide world, outside of Eve, I think it was probably when he woke up, it was probably more like, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Wow, God, you did really good here. Because I can't imagine Adam looking at Eve for the very first time and just thinking, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. All right. And so Adam and Eve lived in the garden. Y'all walk through the garden here. Okay? They walked through the garden and everything was perfect. Everything was just fine. There was no problems. And every evening in the cool of the day, every evening, are you all walking or not? God would come down and he would walk and talk with Adam and Eve. Yes. And he would say, how was your day? Is everything to suit you? Is there anything that you have need of? And God would talk with them. Every day, they had a personal visitation from that one that said,
let there be light.
That one came down and he walked and talked with them. And they lived in the garden and everything was wonderful. Until one day, sin came into the world. And the devil came selling his gospel. He come preaching a gospel other than what they had talked to God about. And he went to Eve and he sold her his lie. He deceived her. And then she went and told Adam about it. And Adam willfully said, because I love her so much, I'm going to enter into sin with her, because he knew that God would not destroy him, but God would make a way. He knew that God, the God that said, let there be light, that God was a big enough God to save him. And so sin came into the world. Go ahead, y'all can have a seat. Thank you very much. And so God didn't come down and visit them the next day. In fact, he drove them out of the garden and said, you can't live here anymore because sin has separated us. There's now a gulf. There's now a space between me and you. God was disappointed. He wasn't surprised, but he was disappointed because he really liked the fellowship that he had with Adam and Eve. And for the rest of the Old Testament, prophets, priests, kings, God was always separated from his creation by this gulf or this space that was between them. He came down and one day he spoke to a man by the name of Noah and he told him to build an ark. And one day he came down and he actually visited with Abraham. And then one day he comes down and the only way that he could appear to Moses and get his attention, God came down in that pillar of fire that's in that picture over there. As Brother Layton told us the other night, He got a hold of that bush, and the bush was on fire, but the bush was not burned up. And that caught Moses' attention, because Moses had been educated by the Egyptians in the best universities, the best schools that they had. And he had to see what this was that would make a bush be on fire, but it wouldn't be consumed. And so he went over there, and God said, I need you to go down to Egypt and bring my people out. That God that spoke and said,
let there be light.
That God came down in a bush, in a pillar of fire. And he told Moses, he said, you go down and you lead my people out. And all through the Old Testament, there remained this space. We would say it like this. We would say God was above the people. He appeared to the people in the form of the pillar of fire, but he didn't come down and he didn't walk and talk with Adam and Eve or with Moses and the other ones like he did with Adam and Eve, because sin caused that separation. And then one day, God appeared to a little virgin girl in the New Testament. And he spoke to her and he said, you're going to conceive and you're going to have a child. And that child is going to be by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost. That one that said,
let there be light,
had come down, had decided that no longer did he want to be God above us, but he wanted to be God with us. And in Matthew, the first chapter, 23rd verse, if one of you brothers will get that for me. Somebody with your Bible, quick. Matthew 1, 23. Read it, Brother Layton.
Behold, a virgin shall be with a child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
And so God came down. Do we have a very young baby boy in here? Who's got the newest baby boy? Anybody? I think Sister Weber. Sister Weber? Huh? Oh, no, baby. Okay. Brother Layton. Okay, who's got the youngest baby boy? It doesn't matter if they're two or three, whatever. Okay, it's still the Webers. All right, stand up, Brother Isaac, stand up and hold your little boy. God came down, that one that said,
let there be light.
That God came down and he was in a body just like this. Amen. Think about that. The God of creation, the God that spoke with a dirty diaper. The God who created the heavens and the earth went to mommy and said, mommy, I got a tummy ache. And that God, in Luke, the second chapter in the 52nd verse, the Bible says this about him. Somebody who's got it? Luke 2, 52. He didn't stay a baby in a manger. He grew up. And you know what? One day he turned 6 years old. And you know why that happened? So that he would know how you feel at six. And then he became 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 11. And at 12 years old, they took a trip. And they wound up in the temple. And he was talking to the teachers and telling them what the scripture meant at 12 years old. So you may be sitting here this morning, and there may be adults sitting behind me right now, and they're thinking, Brother Hoover, 6 years old, why'd you bring them up there? Because God was 6 years old one time. And Jesus was 12 years old. And no matter what you've been through, no matter what anybody's ever said about you, no matter what anybody's ever done to you, Jesus knows exactly how it feels to be 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. But then he grew up and he became a man. He didn't stay a baby. He didn't stay 6 years old. He didn't stay 12 years old. He grew up and became a man. Brother Josh. And he walked on the shores of Galilee. And he walked around Jerusalem and all the places in Judea. A grown man.
Yes.
And instead of saying,
"Let there be light,"
this time he said things like this:
"Thy sins be forgiven thee."
That one.
Amen.
That one that spoke a world into existence. Came down in a body like this and looked at people that were sinners and said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." He also said,
"I come that you might have life."
How can a man say that? Because that one that appeared to Moses in the bush in a pillar of fire, that one that spoke the world into existence, that one was living inside of this man right here. His name was Jesus. He also said,
"Rise, take up thy bed and walk."
Yes. Think about it.
Glory.
A man walked up to somebody one day and said, he was laying there sick, said, "Pick up your bed and walk. You're not sick anymore." Why could he do that? Because it was the same one. It was that one that said,
"Let there be light."
Amen.
And then one day, something terrible happened. You see that cross back there? They took a cross that didn't look that nice. It was old and it was rugged. And it didn't feel good upon his back that was laid open with a whip. Brother Branham tells us that as he took that cross and put it on his back and began to walk out of Jerusalem, that he could hear the thump, thump, thump on the cobblestones as he was going out to Calvary. And he said, what started on that robe is just a little dot of blood. By the time he got to Calvary, it was completely red. So that you and I could be healed. And then they didn't stop at that. They took him and they hung him on the cross. And they nailed his hands. And they nailed his feet to that cross. And they dropped it in the ground. And he died. "You're going to lay down here and I'm going to bury you." He died. Wait a minute. Brother David. That one that said,
"Let there be light,"
is dead? No. God didn't die. But Jesus, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, he died so that you and I could be set free of our sins.
Amen.
Now we've had God above us. We had God with us. Now what are we going to do? God's no longer with us. He's dead. He's in a grave. But it didn't stop there. On the third day, he arose. And he'll never die again. And he has in his hands the keys to death, hell, and the grave. So you don't have to be afraid of dying. It's sad when someone dies because they're no longer with us. We can't go talk to them like our grandma, grandpa, or our mom, or my dad. But I know I'm going to see them again because Jesus rose again and said because he lived, we could live also. Thank you, brother. So now what are we going to do? So he's risen from the dead. And there's people that's excited. And then one day on a hillside outside of Jerusalem, he's taken up into the heavens. And the disciples are told, go to Jerusalem and tarry there until you be endued with power from on high. Because without the Holy Spirit in your life, you're lost. You can repent of your sins. You can be baptized in Jesus' name. But without the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you're not born again yet. And so they went to the upper room in Jerusalem. And they waited and they waited and waited. And Brother Branham tells us that one person stood up and said, "I think I got it." Peter said, "Sit down." "Well, I believe I got it." Peter said, "Not yet. He said we would receive power. Do you have power right now? No, don't have power. Okay, keep praying. Keep tarrying. But at the appointed time, that pillar of fire that's in that picture, that same pillar of fire, not a different one, amen, that one, right, came down in the upper room. And he divided himself up. And he went to each one of them and he filled her and he filled her and he filled her and he filled her and 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 her. And he didn't leave you brothers out. He filled each and every one of you all with that same pillar of fire that spoke to Moses, with that same pillar of fire that was in the tabernacle in the wilderness and led them through the wilderness on their way to Canaan land. The very same one that spoke and said,
let there be light.
The very same one that spoke and said,
thy sins be forgiven thee.
They didn't know they had the Holy Ghost because they spoke in tongues. I'm just going to let that sink in for a little bit. They did not claim to have the Holy Ghost because they shouted. They knew they had the Holy Ghost because the same power, the same person that had walked with them, that had been above their forefathers in the wilderness, that God came down inside of them and took over. That's how they knew. They didn't take thought and say, well, I'm going to go heal somebody today. No, but when they saw somebody sick, they realized the same one that could create a world was living inside of me. The same one that could lead children of Israel through the wilderness is living inside of me. And so then Peter could walk up to the man at the gate called Beautiful and say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, what I just received in the upper room, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Amen. And there wasn't any way that man could stay there. He could not sit still. He could not stay in that condition any longer. Why? Because it wasn't Peter that was saying it. It was the one that said,
let there be light.
And the one that said,
neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more.
That one, amen, was living inside of them. Yes. And I haven't even got to the best part yet. So we understand he was God above us, right? Then he came God with us. Now the best part of the story. He wants to be God in us. Amen. Brother Branham said it like this. In a message called, It Is I, in 1961. It's God in you. Now, that was said in 1961, and we have it on a tape. But if Brother Branham could come this morning and stand here before you, he would say it again. He would say, Jackson, it's God in you. Caleb, it's God in you. Savannah, it's God in you. He goes on to say this. Brothers, if you'll bring the table over here. He says, all that God was, he poured into Christ. And all Christ was, he poured into the church. So it's God above us, God with us, and God in us. Amen. Now I just want to demonstrate this for a moment. Caleb, if you'll stay right here. I don't have an accurate way to display what God is in relations to this. So I just got the biggest container of water that I thought we would be able to handle. And this is going to be God. The water in this bucket represents the God that said,
let there be light.
And the God that said,
rise, take up thy bed and walk.
That God. We have him demonstrated in this bucket this morning. If I could accurately demonstrate him, there would be water filling everywhere here. Okay? Over behind that speaker that Brother Arnie uses, God's over there. Up in the corner over there, God's there. Everywhere, everywhere, there's God. Amen. I need you to sit still for just a few more minutes. I'm almost to the close. So that God, as big as he is, he said, I don't want to just be God above them. I want to be God with them. And so he poured himself into a body that we represented with Brother Josh as Jesus Christ. If you'll pour that in there, please. Open those up. All right. So everybody, step up over just a little bit. Everybody saw that. He took the water that was in here and he poured it in here. Same water, right? This is not a different water. It's just a different container. God was not in a body when he was in the tabernacle in the wilderness. God was not in a body when he was with Moses at the burning bush and the pillar of fire. But now when Jesus came, God took upon himself a body. The main purpose that he had to have a body was there had to be a sacrifice, just like there was in the garden. An innocent one had to die for the guilty. And you and I are guilty. But there was a body that came and lived without sin and went to the cross and was crucified and was buried and rose again. That was Jesus Christ. Amen. So now, if you'll help me out. I need 27. Brother Caleb, help, come and help. I need you to fill up 27 cups. So on the day of Pentecost, God says, it's not sufficient. It's not the end of the story. It's not the end of my plan for me just to have a body that hung on a cross and died for these children. I've got to do more. I have to make a way for me to live inside of them. Same water that was here is in Jesus. Same water that was in Jesus is in these cups. And I'm going to give every one of you an opportunity to drink. You don't have to if you don't want to. But we're going to have a drink for everybody that wants one. And when you take that drink, you just remember the same Holy Spirit that in the beginning said,
"Let there be light."
The same one who walked in Jesus and said,
"I come that you might have life."
He wants to be inside of you. Now, none of you have to beg this morning. None of you have to get down on your knees and cry out and say, "Oh, Brother David, please, can I have a drink of that water? Can I have a drink?" I'm going to give you the water. Yes. And Brother Branham said that Jesus wants you to have the Holy Ghost more than you even could want it. So just as easy as you're going to take these cups in a moment and you're going to drink, that's how easy it is for Jesus to fill you. You just have to open. Remember the door that Brother John Sanger preached about? Y'all remember? How many of you were here when Brother John Sanger preached? Okay, you remember the door that he set up. What was unique about that door? Ruth. That's correct. There was no handle on the outside of the door. So Jesus just couldn't come up and say, "I'm going to open this girl's heart and I'm going to put myself in there whether she wants it or not." No, he's a gentleman. He doesn't act like that. Go ahead and serve him whenever you get done. He's a gentleman. You have to open up your heart. And just as like you're going to reach out in a moment and take this cup of water and you're going to drink it, nobody's going to force you to. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But just that easy, Jesus is standing here this morning. Hallelujah. Jesus is standing here this morning. And he's saying to you, "Would you like a drink? Would you like that water that the woman at the well got a hold of?" He's right here, right now. That real sweet feeling that you have coming over you right now, that's the Holy Spirit. And just like Brother John Sanger told you, he's knocking. But it's up to you to open the door. You don't have to. No one's going to make you. But he's willing. Brothers, if you'll move this back over there.
Everybody, the one and one got a drink? Okay. So in the same message called It Is I, in 1961, Brother Branham says, talking about Jesus, he's still talking about what I just told you about. All that God was, he poured into Christ. All that Christ was, he poured into the church. He says, and he has no voice tonight, but our voice. He has no hands, but our hands. He has your hands. That's whose hands it is. Brother Ben, if you'll get ready. Sophia, come here a minute. Finish your water and come here, please. Now, I'm going to use Sophia to help me demonstrate this. But whatever I say to Sophia, I want you all to follow along. All right? I want you to look at your hands, Sophia. Take your hands. Look at both of them. See those hands right there? Jesus wants those hands. Are you willing to give Jesus those hands? See those feet? Jesus wants those feet. Are you willing to give Jesus your feet? Jesus wants your lips, your mouth. Are you willing to give him your lips? Jesus wants your heart. Are you willing to give him your heart? Okay. What about you all? Do you want him to take over your hands? Do you want him to take over your feet? If you want Jesus to take your hands, raise them up to him. Just this simple, folks. That's it. No, raise them up. Keep them up. And I'm going to pray. I want you to repeat what I'm going to pray. Everyone bow your heads, please. Brother Ben, the musicians would come. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I give you my hands.
Give you my hands.
I give you my feet.
I give you my feet.
I give you my lips.
I give you my lips.
I want to serve you.
I want to serve you.
I want to live for you.
I want to live for you.
I want you to come into my heart. And take over.
And take over.
Heavenly Father, you've heard the young lady's prayer. You've heard these young people up here praying along with her. Lord, I can't do it for them. But Lord, you want them to know that you're not just God above them anymore, speaking with a voice like thunder. You're not even God in a body called Jesus Christ walking on earth. But you're God the Holy Spirit, and you want to live inside of each of these young people if they'll just surrender to you. Would you come in their hearts now? Would you fill them with your Holy Spirit? Would you have your way in their hearts and their lives? We ask it in Jesus. Let's just worship him.
Oh, into my heart. Into my heart.
Worship him, young people. Don't worry about who's around you. Don't worry about mom and dad looking at you. This is your time. The Lord Jesus is here. Me to have you come up front. Take all the distractions from the pews away from you. Let's just worship him. Lord Jesus, we love you this morning. Oh God, we give you our heart. We give you our hands. We give you our feet. We give you our lips. We give you our all in all. Heavenly Father, we love you. Oh, into my... Sing with me.
To say, come into.
your seats.
Into my heart, come into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay.
Let's stand. For 6 to 12 year olds. Some of you sitting there watching this, you know the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart. You know He's opened up to you, showed you things that maybe you didn't understand before. Maybe you tried to walk with Him, but you haven't allowed Him to be in you. Just as the children did, it's really that simple, folks. It really is. It's not complicated. Why don't you just raise your hands and take a drink this morning of that everlasting water? Just worship the Lord. Why would you want to stand in the presence of the one who said, let there be light? The one who said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. And not take a drink? Father, pour your Spirit out into us this morning. Refill this vessel of mine, Lord. Heavenly Father, I love you. I praise you. I magnify your name. Lord, you're wonderful. You're more than wonderful, Lord. You're the God of all creation. And you want to live inside of me. It's just a thought I can't even comprehend, Lord. But Lord, I believe it.
Into my heart.
Oh, Heavenly Father.
Come into
we recognize your presence
heart.
In this room this morning.
Lord,
we worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come in today. Come in to stay. You never knew.
morning. I'm going to share something with you all. It's been tough for me to ever repeat this. It's a wonderful thing, but I don't know. I get real broke up, and I just feel I shouldn't share it this morning. I was 17 years old, and me and Brother Dale Collins were buddies, and we were the two cowboys in church, the Tabernacle. We're pretty close, and he lived down southern Kentucky, Columbia. And one Sunday night, I hadn't seen him for a while. We were out of town, and we went to a funeral that day. He wasn't on my mind or anything. And one Sunday night, we had got back from a funeral. We were out of town, and went to sleep. It was about 10:45. Something hit me in the chest. I don't know what it was, but it scared me to death. I jumped out of bed, and I was shaking. I was so scared. And I laid back down, and immediately, I don't know if I fell asleep or what it was, but Dale was there standing. We were like in the field. He was up a little bit on a hill, and he was talking to me and my brother Kenneth and his brother Dan. We stood there, and I was a lot of humor. I was cutting up, and he kept saying, "No, Ben, we're serious here." And I can't remember what he was telling me. I wish I could remember all the things he was telling me while I was going to go through in my life, different battles, and but he kept saying, "Press on, Ben." Next morning, I forgot about it completely, and about 10 o'clock, we got a call. Said he got hit head up on by a truck right at the time that I'd had that little dream, whatever it was. He just gave his heart to the Lord, rededicated his life to the Lord rather than the night before in church. And somehow, I don't know how it happened, but he came in a dream or something and spoke to me. You know how much that means to me, and I've struggled even saying to anyone. I've told a couple of people in my life because it's just so special. The devil come at me and tell you he's not real or God's not real. The devil, what about that? I wasn't thinking about it, but I believe God used him to get me back to Lord. Let me rededicate my life to you, Lord. I know sometimes we feel that we're just going along, going to church. It's another thing we do. We'll be here next Wednesday night if we haven't made it right, but what about if that happens, you know? If Dale hadn't rededicate his heart to the Lord, where would be tonight? I believe, because I remember looking on that hill, there was a light shining in the background, and I believe with all my heart that was some sort of a dream the Lord gave me. That was where he was going. That was heaven. Amen. It was a beautiful place, and I don't normally have a lot of stuff like that happen, but it scared me at first. And I realized, Lord, look what you've done for me. Look what you've done for all of us. Just let me rededicate my life this morning. Let him fill us this morning. He's more than able. We don't have to shout, but I believe we need to make sure he's real in our lives. Amen. Oh, this thirsting of my soul. Oh, breath of heaven. Feed me till I want no
love.
God is real. He's real in my soul.
God is real, or I can't be.
has washed and made me whole. Oh, his love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul.
Hey, let's give my hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Trevor, would you come and dismiss us this morning? Remember the practice after the service for the adult choir. Remember the service tonight at 6:30. Look forward to seeing you. Praise the Lord. He's here on Sunday night as well. Amen.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the presence of the one who said, "Let there be light," yet you've deigned and condescended to come down to men of low estate who are unworthy. But Father, you wanted to be in us and with us. Lord, how great you are. How great is your love. How great is your power. Father, we thank you and we rejoice in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you have died and shed your blood on Calvary to redeem us back, oh God. That we could be in fellowship with you again. And here we are, Lord, having that fellowship, Lord. And in just a token of what the kind of fellowship that we'll have in the millennium, Lord, our desire and our prayer is come quickly, Lord. That we might be with you, Lord. Oh, we're looking forward to your soon coming, Lord. Pray that you'd be with us now as we go. May we live our lives in such a way that your presence is always welcome around us, Lord. That we might have that fellowship with you. Father, bring us back tonight, Lord, as we look again to your word for instruction in our life. We thank you and praise you, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's sing this again as we go. I like singing songs a few times, so we'll do it again.
Oh, God is good all the time. He puts a song of praise.